Tonight we've come to pray, we've come to seek the face of God, and I want to begin to lift up family members. How many of you have a family member that needs to come home to Jesus, that's running from God, that is lost tonight? Tonight I believe there's faith here in this house that we can believe God for the miraculous, we can believe God to save, to deliver. I've got to tell you, my brother, he was hooked up in all kinds of stuff, and I would pray for him, and when I first came to Christ, and it just seemed like he got hooked up in this, and then if it wasn't this, he got hooked up in that, and if it wasn't that, he got hooked up in something else. But I just continued to believe God, and God finally got a hold of him, and I've got to tell you, my brother is on fire for Jesus. He is on fire, folks, on fire for Jesus. He's gotten involved in ministry. I mean, God is using him to reach others. He is just, he talks to everybody and anybody about Christ. He's got more boldness than you could imagine. It's amazing what the Lord has done in his life. And so I want to encourage you tonight to believe God for your unsaved loved ones tonight. I want you to begin to call on the Lord. Name that unsaved loved one and let's begin to bind the devil in the name of Jesus. Folks, if our God is for us, who can stand against us? I hope that's not just a song. I don't believe that's a song tonight. I believe we believe the report of the Lord that God can pluck our unsaved loved ones out of darkness and he can bring them, translate them into his marvelous kingdom of light. Come on, folks, begin to lift your voice now. Take 2-3 minutes and lift your voice on behalf of your unsaved loved ones tonight. Hallelujah. Name them tonight. Name them. Hallelujah. Name them. Take authority over the drugs, the violence, the anger, the depression, the suicidal thoughts, the alcohol. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we cry out to you tonight for our families, God. We come before your throne, God. You said we have a throne of grace in our time of need, Lord. And you told us, God, in your word, God, if we believed on you, that you would save our households, God. You said, God, that where two or three are gathered in your midst, God, and we ask according to your will, God, according to your will, God, you will hear us, God. If we believe that you hear us and we have confidence that you hear us, we have the petition. And Father, I thank you that you hear us, Father. You always hear us, God. You are the God that can raise up the dead. You are the God that could take off grave clothes. You are the God that could speak a word and life could come out of death, God. Light could come out of darkness, God. So we're asking you tonight, believing you, God, standing in a gap for our families, God, standing in a gap for that one, God, that we could hardly have faith to believe you for. But tonight, God, we believe you, God, because we believe that you're asking us to ask, God, and we're praying in faith, God, and we feel you fighting for our families, God. We feel you fighting against the darkness. We feel you, God, just about to break through and destroy the works of the enemy. God, you came to seek and save that which was lost. And we feel you rising up tonight to fight against every principality and power of darkness. And God, we're just standing here agreeing with you, asking because you're asking us to ask for that brother, that sister, that mother, that father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. Devil, you can't have my brothers. You can't have my mother. You can't have my father. In the name of Jesus, let the chains snap. Let the prison doors open. God, like Peter, we be standing here and they'll come running into this prayer meeting because you answer prayer, God. Lord, I'm asking you to move upon the hearts of our families. God, I'm asking you that mothers and fathers, Lord, that came into the sanctuary burdened down because of grievances in the family, something would be broken. Faith would arise. Strongholds would be broken tonight because you're good, God, because you answer prayer. You care more about them than we could ever, God. So we're just asking you, believing you, God, for miracles tonight. Believing you for testimonies. Lord, I cry out for my brother Jason. I cry out for my brother Gerard. I cry out for my brother Anthony. I cry out for my family. For those, God, who mock you and scorn you, God. Lord, your weapons are love. Your weapons are mercy. Your weapons are goodness, God. It's your goodness that leads them to repentance. And so, God, I'm believing you to destroy the works of the enemy, for every prison door to be opened, for every captive to be set free. And we are asking, believing that you hear us, having confidence that you hear us, and then we know we have the petition. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, folks. He said, prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you're still in the business of stopping funeral processions. Lord, I think of that mother who lost her son, God, and how you stopped that procession and you raised that boy up and you gave him back to his mother. Father, we're believing you to raise up our unsaved loved ones, to call them out of their graves. Lord, call them out of bars, call them out of crack houses, call them out of prostitution dens. God, call them out of prison. Lord, call them out of institutions. Lord, those that are heavily medicated, Lord, those that have lost their minds, Lord, that you will clothe them, Lord, that you will call them out, you will clothe them and put them in their right minds like you did for us. God, we're believing you to work miracles tonight. And Father, we shout unto you with a voice of triumph because we know our God reigns tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We praise your name. Hallelujah. 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 God, we thank you tonight that it makes no difference what the problem is. We can go to you in prayer. We can call on you, dear God. You're a very present help in time of trouble. And right now, we need you. We need you to speak to us in this very hour. We need you to open up the word to us, open up our hearts to your word, dear God. And Father, let heaven and earth become one. Give us a grace to embrace your word, to embrace your truth, and to walk in it. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. No, that's the title of my message. I'm not testing the mic out. We're going to talk a little bit about testing tonight. Amen? This message is for those who, while you were hearing Vicky singing, I feel like going on, I feel like pressing on, you were thinking, I feel like giving up. I feel like getting out. If you're in that place, I want to talk to you, and I want to encourage you tonight and tell you that that song could be yours tonight. You can also sing with us, I can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. Can we continue to rejoice even in the wilderness? Can we continue to rejoice even in the wilderness? Psalm 136, I'm just going to read a few verses there. You don't have to turn there for the sake of time. It's a song of celebration, and it's almost like the psalmist is saying one thing and the congregation is repeating, for his mercy endures forever. And he mentions things and everybody's just rejoicing. They're like they're his amen corner. They're just saying, amen, praise God, his mercy endures forever. Verse 11 says, and he brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with a mighty outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his hosts in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness. Ooh. Ooh. Come again. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. I can imagine the little kids in the synagogue, you know, rejoicing because of the sea parting, all those stories that they've heard mommy and daddy tell them about Pharaoh and his army being drowned into the depths of the sea, the enemy of their souls being conquered by the power of God, and they're rejoicing with their parents, for his mercy endures forever. But all of a sudden they hear something. It's almost like a parenthesis in the midst of this psalm of celebration. To him who led his people through the wilderness. I can see a little kid tugging on mommy's skirt. Mom, what's so great about the wilderness? Dad, that doesn't sound too good. The wilderness. All I know about the wilderness, it's a barren place. It's a place where you don't see your provision easily available. It's a hot place. It's a cold place. It's a dangerous place. It's a dark place. It's a stormy place. It's a lonely place. It's a painful place. But yet the psalm says, you can continue to rejoice in the midst of the wilderness. Your song doesn't have to stop in the midst of the wilderness. You have a right to glorify His name through whatever trial, through whatever storm, through whatever opposition you're going through. You have a right to glorify His name in the midst of the wilderness, for His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. He smote kings. Yes, He conquered our enemies. Yes, He gives food to all flesh. But even in the midst of my trial, even in the midst of my scarcity, even in the midst when there's no food on the table, I can rejoice in the God who leads me in the wilderness, for His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28, a very familiar passage to all of us. And we know that all things work together for what? For good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. This was written in the context of suffering. Verse 16 of that same chapter says, if we're children of God, and if we're children of God, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 35, who can separate us? You know these passages. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, nakedness, peril, sword, suffering, shall suffering separate you from the love of Christ? No, the answer is no, nothing can separate you and I from the love of Christ. And I know that all things, and in all things we're including all sufferings, all trials, all tribulations, all afflictions, all sickness, all disease, all hardships that we have to face, all things work together for good to them who are called of God, to them who love Him, who are called according to His purposes. And my friends, I want to encourage you tonight that you are called, and sometimes we are called to walk in the wilderness. Sometimes we're called to walk through the fire. Sometimes we're called to go through the flood. But He called us. The God who called us will keep us. The God who called us will strengthen us. The God who called us will make a way, even where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. According to His purpose. He has a purpose in this trial. He has a purpose in your suffering. Can I encourage you tonight to not lose your song in the midst of your wilderness, because that wilderness is a place of refining. I'm going to give you 3 points, and that's why I titled this message, Testing, Testing 1, 2, and 3. The first point, your wilderness is a place of refining. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Sometimes we're surprised that we go through suffering. Sometimes there's this theology that's out there that says once you come to Christ, you know, things work smoothly and God just makes a way everywhere you go, and just everything is bowing down before you and everything's parting and you just go through life without trials. And then when trials hit you, we think it's strange. We're confused. We question God. And the Bible is saying, listen, don't think it's strange. It's common. It's going to happen. If it hasn't happened already, if you're going through it right now, it's not a strange thing. The wilderness is not a strange place. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:6 and 7 says, Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, say much more. Much more precious than gold. And if gold has to go through the fire, then your faith and my faith has to go through the fire. Amen? Amen. Being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have this Goshen mentality of suffering, this blood on the doorpost mentality that it can't fall on me. Suffering can't fall on me. And it's true that there was light in Goshen when there was darkness all throughout Egypt. And yes, it's true that the plagues didn't affect the people of God as it did. But remember, that passage is about judgments of God. You see, Christ went to the cross to take the judgment that you and I deserve. So God is not judging you. There's no judgment on you. But the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. We go through afflictions. Now, there's a problem with these mentalities. First of all, it makes us, it makes our faith quake if we have this mentality that we're not going to suffer as a Christian. Because then we go through it and we say, where was God? Where is God in all of this? I can't see his, if he loves me so much, why is he allowing me to go through this trial? And our faith in him falters. Another danger is that we begin to think that we're under judgment because we're going through trials and suffering. I'm going to tell you right now, you're living for God. You have a heart for God. You love God. You will go through trials. And you don't have to be questioning, God, or what did I do wrong? Where have I failed you? Am I being judged? Am I under the condemnation? I can't raise my hands. I can't sing because if I have to wait till this trial passes on. You have a right to raise your hands because God is faithful. He's faithful through thick, through thin. He's faithful in the fire. He's faithful in the flood. You have a right to praise him, not because you feel good, not because your trial has gone away, but you have a right to praise him because he's worthy of all your praise. He's worthy of all your adoration. So why the refining? Why do I have to go through this fire? First of all, to build resistance. He's building something in us. He's making soldiers out of us. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Say soldier. Soldier, you and I may not have military experience. We may have never gone to battle, may have never served in a war, never served in the armed forces. But my friends, when you said yes to Christ, when you accepted his invitation, you were recruited into the army of the living God. And now we, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we endure hardship because we endure this training. He is bringing us to become a soldier that can resist the enemy's temptations, that can resist the enemy's attacks. Be sober, 1 Peter 5:8-10. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast. Say resist. Yes. We're called to resist. We're called to fight the good fight of faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This is not a strange thing. You're going through it. I'm going through it. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after. That ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, complete, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's working in us a perfection, a completion to establish us, that we wouldn't be tossed to and fro from every wave of doctrine. We would be strengthened, not just for our sake, so we can strengthen those around us, to settle you. We're going in through hard times, my friends, and you and I need to be settled in Christ. Paul says, I've learned to be abased and abound. I've learned to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He went through afflictions, but God was strengthening him. Hallelujah. He's building in us resistance. Why the refining? Also to rid us of impurities. He brings us out of Egypt, but sometimes he needs to bring us through the fire so that he could bring Egypt out of us. And he could take that stuff that lingers on in this old nature and refine us and cleanse us of all impurities. Self-sufficiency. I can do this on my own. I've done this. I have experience. I know how to do this. Oh, until we go through the battle, until we go through the fire. And then we realize, God, I can't do this. You see, it's a wake-up call. It's just a reality check. We never were able to do it in our own strength. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But sometimes we get a little bit confused and a little bit deceived into thinking that since we've been serving in this capacity for many years, or we've gone to church, we've done this thing, we can handle it. And God has to allow certain fires to come into our hearts so that we can cry out to him and realize, God, I was weak when you saved me. I will always be weak until the day you take me home. I need you. I depend on you. And I don't want any self-sufficiency in my heart. Remove it. Purify me. Purge me. Cleanse me. And let the fire of God do whatever it has to do. If it wasn't for the prodigal getting to his last dime and going into the pig's sty, he wouldn't have woken up to the reality that there was food in the father's house. Amen? And the prodigal headed home into right relationship with his father. Sometimes we need to be cleansed of self-righteousness. that we're okay, we've got this. My friends, we're a heap of flesh without the power of God. Without the Spirit of God, we're nothing but a heap of dirt that cannot bring glory to His name. He needs to breathe on us, and He is our righteousness. He is our strength. It's not your fasting, your church attendance, your offering giving, your charitable gifts, your missions, trips. It's not anything that you do. It's not your form and how you praise. You could be like this. You could be however. It's not your quietness and your stillness that makes you righteous. It's Jesus' blood that makes you and I righteous. Nothing else. And we need sometimes to go through hardships to realize that He and He alone is our righteousness. Sometimes He needs to cleanse us from idolatry. It's easy to put things up and put them in a higher place than Christ. Anything could become an idol. Ministry could become an idol. Our children can become an idol. And sometimes our children go through hardships and we realize, God, our children need You. And God wants to put everybody in its proper perspective, our children, our wife, our relationship, everything into proper perspective. Everything follows the God who we serve. Only one God shall we serve. Only one God we bow down before. Amen? We don't serve any other idols. Psalm 119 says, it was good for me to have been afflicted. If it wasn't for this affliction, I would have gone astray, and You made me return to Your word. So, He's building resistance in us. The refining fire is ridding us of impurities and also causing us to radiate. You see, when the fire comes, there's a shine, a sparkle that comes to our life that causes others to behold the truth. You see, Pastor Patrick was talking about his brother being on fire. And sometimes we ask, God, I want to be on fire for You. But do we want to go through the fire so that we can be on fire? For God, sometimes He says, okay, you want to be on fire? All right, come on in. And He calls us into the fire so we can get on fire for God and others can feel the heat and the glory and the light of His presence because we've gone through it and He has brought us through. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. We've read this before, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But the next verse 13 says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Sometimes we think that's just heaven when we get to heaven. But my friends, when you come out of the trial, when God shows up as the fourth man in the fire, there's a glory that comes into your life. That has to be revealed. People see it. People sense it. People understand there's something different about this person. If it wasn't for that trial, they wouldn't see the glory of Christ in your life. Daniel went into the lion's den, and the king who put him there saw the glory of God and understood that only God could have kept Daniel in the lion's den. The three Hebrew boys went through the fiery furnace, and there were others who saw that there were three who went in, but there was a fourth man, as if it were the Son of God in the presence of the fire. We call Him the fourth man in the fire, but He's the first man in the fire. He went through the cross. He went through the fire of the cross so that you and I would never go through any fire alone. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be there in the midst of your trial. Hallelujah. He takes the flames on Him. He takes the smell of smoke on Him. You release your trials into His hands, and He brings something glorious out of it so that others can behold and see. I want to know that God that you testify of. 1 Peter 3:14-15 says, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you. People are going to get curious. Why aren't you collapsing under the flame when everybody around you on the job is collapsing with fear? Why do you still have a song in the midnight hour? And the Word of God says, be ready. They can ask of you, what is the reason of the hope that is in you? And you will respond with meekness and fear because you've been going through the fire and you know who has kept you in the fire. And then you could testify like the choir was saying, God will work it out. And it won't just be a song. You'll be able to tell people, yes, He can. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. And they will believe you because there's weight in your words because you've gone through the fire. You see, when we go through the fire, Christ and our faith becomes relevant to others. Because it rains on the just and on the unjust. Suffering comes to each and every one of us on this planet. And we receive his comfort so that we can comfort others. We receive freely his grace so that we can impart grace to others. Rahab and all the people of Jericho had heard of the testimony of these people going through the wilderness. But Rahab took it to heart and she saw that if God can keep these people in the wilderness, then surely God can keep her. If God could be merciful to these people and bring them out of the hands of Egypt and Pharaoh and give them victory in the wilderness over this king and over that king and provide for them. She must have heard the stories of the manna from heaven. She must have heard the stories of quail being brought with a wind. She must have heard of the stories of water from a rock. And she said, surely this God is the God of heaven and the God of earth. And she gave her heart over to that Lord, to the God of Israel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People are watching you. Your families are watching you. Your children are watching you. How you go through trials. If you've lost your song, tonight is the night to recoup your song, to gain that song back again and to begin to praise him, to understand that you have a right to rejoice in him because he's making you radiate before men. He's making you shine before your neighbors. He's making you shine before your children and before your family members. He's causing you to be refined so he can build resistance for the days ahead. He's causing you to build up stamina for whatever trials you may face in the future. Secondly, testing. Testing number two. The wilderness is a place of remembrance. If we don't go through this place of darkness and trial, sometimes we forget what we should never forget. We sing the song, how could I forget what he's done for me? And sometimes the answer is very easily. We sometimes forget what he's done for us. So I'm glad that we sing that song because it brings us back to remembrance, to remember what he's done for us. And the wilderness serves as a place of remembrance. It serves as a place to remember how much we really need him. We don't really appreciate the air we breathe until we're choking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then we value that air. And if we never choked, never had difficulty in breathing, then we just take it for granted. But you and I would not be here without the air that we breathe. And we need to understand that he is the air that we breathe. We need him. And this, again, the wilderness is just reality check. It's bringing us back to reality. You can't do it in your own strength. You need him like the air that we breathe, like the water that you drink to stay alive. You need him. He is the living bread. He is the living water. We need to remember also that we are not alone, that others are suffering with us. And sometimes we forget the body of Christ because, you know, hey, I'm happy. Hey, I got the victory. I got the victory. I don't know about you, but I got the victory. But when we go through it, wow, we go to God in prayer and we begin to say, man, if I'm going through the fire, then my brother and my sister may be going through the fire as well. We're not alone in our afflictions. We begin to pray intensely. Talk about intercession. We begin to intercede. Sometimes we feel like our intercession is not effective because we haven't got the victory like we perceive it to be. And we come here and we say, oh, it's good for everybody else to intercede and pray for their lost loved ones. But right now, I don't even feel like I got the victory. Who am I? My friends, it's in those times of wilderness, it's in those times of suffering that you can relate to the people who are going through life without the hope that you have. And my friends, it's time to intercede. It's time to put your needs aside and say, God, I know you will take care of my issues sooner or later, but God, I'm going to intercede for these people who have no hope. I'm going to intercede for these people who have no light at the end of the tunnel. My God, have mercy on them. You've shown me mercy. I remember getting a flat tire. It was like the worst of worst situations. It was getting dark, and I had no place to pull over. I finally pulled over on a piece of grass on the side of the road, and it finally got dark. I couldn't remove. I was all alone. I couldn't remove the bolts, whatever they call them, the nuts. And then when it was like incredible. It was like soldered there, and I'm standing on the thing and pulling it, and I finally get them loose. And now it's totally dark. This is before cell phones. This is before AAA. I had AAA. This was my first car. It was like a jalopy. And then I finally remove all five or whatever of them are, and I lose one, and I can't find it. I had no flashlight. I said, can this get worse? Can this get worse? The cars were coming by so fast. Yung, yung. I was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. I don't know how I got out of there. I really don't know. I guess God made a way. But God made a way in my heart that night. There was such a touch of compassion on my heart that a few days later, I'm on the highway and I see this guy in the middle of the road in this little triangle trying to change his tire, and the jack is like, the whole car is like unbalanced and is hanging on this jack that's even not placed the right way. He's like in the back of the car. It was like a dangerous, dangerous situation. Guess who stopped to help this brother? The guy said, are you Christian? Are you Christian? I received that question as only a Christian would stop here to help me. I told him, yes, I'm Christian, and I'm going to pray for you. I helped him change his tire, but it was compassion that came out of my own suffering. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes God will lead us through the fire so that we can have compassion upon other people. We're not alone in our suffering, and it's good to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded that His word is faithful, that He is good, that He has never failed us, that His promises are true, that He's been faithful to us in the past. We can look back and say, God, You never failed me before. You're not going to fail me now. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to be reminded of that. And also, we need to be reminded that this is not our home. We go through sufferings, but one day we're going to appear with Him in heaven. No more suffering, no more sigh. We're going to be rejoicing for all eternity. And suffering allows us to remember, this is not my home. We're just pilgrims passing through. For I reckon, Romans 8:18 says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. And lastly, testing number three. The wilderness is a place of revelation. And I'll close with this. Imagine a teacher who gives you a test and says, I'm going to give you the answers. You young people that are in college, in high school. Okay, I'm going to give you a test. Don't worry. I'm going to give you the answers. You hardly find teachers like that. But God, when He brings us through a test, He gives us the answer. He is the answer. And he begins to reveal Himself through our trials, through our fire, through our afflictions. You know the story of Job. He goes through the fire and he comes out in chapter 42, verse 5 says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. God, you've given me a revelation of who you are, your mercy. I didn't understand your mercy until I went through the fire. Your grace. I look at myself and I say, how could I have made it through? Apart from your grace, I wouldn't understand His grace. I wouldn't understand His love and His compassion, His everlasting love, His unconditional love. I wouldn't understand it unless I go through the fire and I see my own weakness and I see my own frailty and I see my own failures. And I hear the voice of the condemner and the voice of the accuser bringing me down. You're not going to make it. You're a fraud. You're a hypocrite. Why are you raising your hands in church? You know who you are, and I've gone through the fire. But God has kept me in His embrace. He showed me His love. He showed me that He's faithful and that He will lift me up and that He'll make a way even where there seems to be none. It's through the fire that I receive a revelation of who He is and His heart for others that are suffering. The servant of the prophet saw the enemies of the Lord surrounding him. But if he didn't see that, if he didn't feel cornered, if he never felt threatened by the opposition and by the overwhelming flood of enemies that he saw surrounding, he would never have received a revelation of the host of heaven that was greater in number than all the enemies that were surrounding the camp. How will we know that greater is He that is in us than he who is in the world unless we go through the fire? How will we know that He's Jehovah Jireh unless we go through moments of scarcity where we don't have not just money, not just finances, where we don't have the resources to stand against the opposition of the enemy? We need Jehovah Jireh. We need God who provides. where we don't have the patience to deal with this person or that person or this situation on the job or this situation in the family, where we're running on fumes and we feel like we can't go another step. How will we know that God is my provider, that God is my healer, my sustainer? He is the God who rains bread down from heaven. He's the God who opens up a fountain through a hard place and brings water out of a rock. He's the God who provides for me in the midst of the wilderness. How will I know it unless I go through the wilderness? Paul writes to the church of Philippi from a Roman prison, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Testing. It'll come. Some of you are going through fires right now as we stand. You can stand. Some of you are going through fires, storms, afflictions right now. Could be in your body. And the enemy is the first one to tell you, it's just retribution for the life you lived. But Pastor Patrick read it clearly in the early parts of the service. We were those things before. But now we're new creations in Jesus Christ. God is not judging you. God, I don't know why he put this word on my heart, but I know that God wants to tell you tonight that he loves you with an everlasting love, and you have the right to rejoice in him even in the midst of your fiery furnace. Because he's refining you, because he's causing you to remember how faithful he is, and because he's going to give you a revelation of how glorious he is. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. If you've been going through the fire and you haven't been rejoicing, you've been losing your song, you've been complaining instead of worshiping, just come. Today is the day to regain your song, to confess before God, God, I haven't been reflecting the light of Christ on the job or with my family. I haven't been radiating the fire of God. And I've been complaining and asking you, get me out of this. Get me out instead of bring me through with a testimony. There is no testimony without the test. So come. You're being tested. Come. And God wants to minister to you tonight. Pastor.
Folks, all over the house, you've heard the invitation. Up in the balcony here on the main floor, we'll wait for you. We're going to worship. And Elder David's going to come back and pray with you.
Hallelujah. You know, when I was in school, I used to like it when the teacher would say, it's an open book test. And you know what? Your test and your trial is an open book test. You can go to the book, and God is going to make sense out of it all. He's going to begin to put things into perspective. He's going to begin to reveal how much he loves you and how he's never left you. And you're going to see things that you couldn't have seen unless you were going through it. So let's just pray that God would open our eyes to see what he wants us to see. Sometimes we're so focused on the fire and the flames and the heat of the moment that we can't see beyond it. We can't see him involved in all of it. So God, we just pray tonight that you open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, dear God. If we've been complaining, if we've been just focusing on our trials, our needs, whether in what we say or the attitude of our heart, we ask you to open the eyes of our heart. Amen. And give us grace to behold you, to look higher than the mountain, higher than the trial, and to see he who is high and lifted up, worthy of our praise, worthy of our song, worthy of our adoration. God, we thank you. Thank you. Give us that song that we heard earlier today, dear God, that even in spite of all the trials coming in from every hand, that we would feel like going on, that we would feel like pressing in to God because you're worthy, because you got a purpose and you called us according to your purposes. Work it out together for good now, dear God. Now, God. Give us that revelation that you gave Job that even before you restored children and houses and land and provision, dear God, you gave him what was truly valuable, a revelation of who you are. So God, in the midst of prayers that haven't been answered, in the prayers, in the midst of wilderness experiences where we feel so weak and so lame and so confused, God, in the midst of it all, open up heaven and reveal yourself to us. That's all we ask. God, your grace is sufficient for us. Give us that grace, dear God. Give us the grace of a revelation of God. And we thank you. We will be eternally grateful. And we will shine for you, dear God. We will speak of the goodness and the grace of our God because you've met us at the point of our need. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Pastor.
God. Thank God for his word, his presence. How many of you appreciate what God is doing in this church? How many of you appreciate the choir, the band, the worship, the music ministry? I want us to do something tonight. You know, they bless us every service, week after week. They come, the choir, the band, the music ministry. They lead us in worship through their pain, through their trials, through their fires, through their struggles, through sickness. They lead us in worship. They stand before us and lead us into the presence of God. And tonight I want us to bless them. Can we do that? Can we bless them? Pray for them tonight. I want us to take, we're going to take a minute or two. We're going to lift our voices, and I want you to stretch forth your hands towards this platform, towards the choir, towards the band, Greg Thomas, the staff, the musicians, and begin to pray for them. Begin to lift your voice for them, that God will bless them, that he'll fight their battles for them, that he'll keep them, that he'll direct them, that he'll provide for them, that he'll save family members, and he'll continue to anoint them and keep them clean and set apart for his purposes. Come on, lift your voice tonight. Lift your voice to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you because you're God that never fails, God. Oh, God, we bring the choir member before you, Lord. We bring Greg before you, God, that you will touch him, God. You will give him a new repertoire, God. I pray that you give him song, God, songs that come directly from your throne of grace, God. I pray, Lord God, that every battle that's come to him, God, that you will fight his battle, God. The victory is already won, God. I pray, Lord, for the members, God, of the choir, God. I pray, Lord, that as they do your work, God, you're going to do their work, God. I pray, God, as they look to you, God, Lord, you would never fail them, God. Because you are God. You will never leave them or forsake them, God. Oh, God, I pray for their children. I pray for their husband. I pray for their wives, God. I pray, God, for their needs, God. You are God that provide, God. And you will provide everything that they have need of, God. I pray, God, that you will continue to lead them, God. Lead them in the nighttime. Lead them in the daytime, God. I pray, God, when they feel weary and alone, God, that you will be the one who will lift them up. You will be the lifter of their head, God. I pray, Lord, they will not want for anything, God, because you have all resources, God. You are the great provider, God. You will provide strength. You will provide direction. You will provide guidance, God. You will provide help, God. And I pray for those who need a healing, a touch, God. Even now, you're going to give them a touch, God. For their children, God, who are wayward, even now, you're going to bring them home, God. I pray, God, for the husband. Even now, God, you're going to give him a song in his heart. Oh, God, and I thank you. I thank you, God, for your faithfulness, God. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your guidance. I thank you for your provision to these men and women, God. These Levites, God, who give of their time, who give of the finance, God. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that you will provide for them beyond what they can see, beyond what they can hear. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in and through them. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You would never leave them. You would never forsake them. And you would never fail them. Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray these things in the marvelous name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more thing before we go. How many here are 29 and younger? Show of hands. Raise your hands real high. 29 and younger. 29 and younger, all over here. Okay, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Okay, I want brothers with brothers, sisters with sisters to put a hand on someone's shoulder tonight. We're going to pray for the young people before we close out. The young people need prayer. We're going to pray for the young people in this house. And if you don't have a young person around you, you can still lift your voice. But I want to take a minute or two and pray for the young people, pray for the youth meeting, that God will keep these young people. He'll strengthen them. Men with men, ladies with ladies, put a hand on each other's shoulder. Lisa Richardson, why don't you come? We're going to lift our voices and believe God for the young people. Amen. Stand for the glory of God, that they'll stand for Christ, that God will enable them, and that he'll pour out his spirit on Fridays at the gate and on Sundays in our small groups in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voice.
Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to pray for the next generation, oh God. Lord, we realize, oh God, that this is our responsibility, Father, Lord, to pour into, Lord. Lord, this next generation, oh God, should you tarry, Father. Lord, we ask and we pray, oh God. Lord, we realize, oh God, that this is such a very dark hour, Lord God. The enemy is waging war, Lord, against them, Lord, like never before, oh God. But Father, like we sang, oh God, this evening, Lord, we know that you are greater, oh God. Lord, we know, oh God, that you are stronger, Lord. Lord, we know that the greater one lives on the inside of them, Father. And he who is greater, Lord, is greater than the spirit that is in this world, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, and we pray that you would give them grace, Lord. You said you were able to give grace upon grace, oh God, to stand in the evil day, oh God. Lord, you said, having done all, Father, that we are to stand, oh God. Lord, I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that your young people would go to school. Lord, that they would travel in your communities, oh God. Lord, armed and ready for the battle, God. That they would be dressed in the full armor of God. God, I ask, oh God, and I pray, oh God, that no weapon formed against them, oh God, will prosper. God, I pray, oh God, that every tongue that rises up against them in judgment, Lord, that you would remind them that they have power to condemn the condemner, God. Lord, we pray, oh God, tonight against the powers, Lord, the forces of wickedness, the spiritual wickedness in the high places. Lord, we pray against the destroyer, oh God. Father, we trample him tonight, oh God, under our feet, God. God, we ask and we pray, Lord, that no weapon formed against your young people will prosper. Father, we ask and we pray that every trap that the devil has set for them, Lord, that you would cut the trap and they would go free, oh God. Father, we ask and we pray for an ever-increasing sense of your glory, oh God. Lord, upon them, oh God. We ask you, Father, for a baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would give them, Lord, power like never before, Lord, to live for you, oh God. Lord, to stand for the testimony of Christ, oh God, in their schools, oh God, in your workplaces, Father. Lord, we're asking, oh God, for a Holy Ghost backbone, oh God. Lord, we pray, oh God, that they would not bow and bend their knee, oh God, to the spirit of this age, oh God. Lord, we're asking for a testimony, Father, like Elijah, oh God, who said he was able to find 7,000 that did not bow their knee to the spirit of Baal, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, and we pray, oh God, that you would visit your young people, Father. Lord, even as we're praying to you tonight, oh God, that you would visit them, Lord. Lord, we ask and we pray, oh God, that you would visit us on Friday nights at the gate, oh God. Lord, we're asking, oh God, that you would visit us on Sunday nights, oh God, for the CCG and the year meeting, Father. Lord, we're asking for the river to rise, oh God. Lord, we're asking ultimately, Lord, for rivers to swim in, God. Lord, that you would begin to fill this place. Lord, that you would compel young people to come from the highways and the byways, oh God. That they would taste and see that the Lord is good. That they would be willing to forsake the things of this world, oh God. Lord, that the cross of Jesus Christ would be before them and this world would be behind them. Lord, there would be no turning back. There would be no looking back. Father, we ask, oh God, and we pray that you would keep your young people that are living for you right now, God, that you would keep them focused. You would keep them on the narrow road that leads to life. You would pluck them off the broad road of destruction. Oh God, we ask you, God, to bring back the backsliders. Lord, to bring back the prodigal sons. My God, to bring back the wayward daughters. Lord, we ask you to put the brakes on backsliding. Father, we ask you, oh God, to set a fire under those that are cold, those that are dry, those that are apathetic. My God, would you rain down in this place, oh God. My God, we ask you, oh God, for the former rain. You said to pray for the former and the latter rain, oh God. So we ask you, oh God, to do it. Lord, to do it, oh God. Lord, we know that you are raising up soldiers, oh God. You are raising up an army, my God, too numerous to count, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, for the opportunity, Jesus Christ, oh God. Lord, to pray that you would absolutely do what you have purposed to do, God. A Joshua generation, a Gideon army, oh God. Oh God, that will never be defeated, but will walk in the power of God. They will rise, Lord, and know that they are more than conquerors. We thank you, oh God, for the victory, oh God. We bless you for it, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give them thanks tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Folks, it's been a wonderful time in the house of the Lord. We're going to go rejoicing in the name of the Lord. But please greet one another before you leave. Please encourage somebody in the Lord. Give somebody a Holy Ghost handshake, Holy Ghost smile tonight before they leave. Encourage somebody in the name of the Lord. And we'll see you Friday and Sunday in the house of God. Mm-hmm.